psychological safety, and the magic of dingulation. I'm a big believer in fostering psychological safety at work. Without it, people will play it safe, they won't take big swings, they'll keep their concerns to themselves, they'll defend the status quo rather than seek creative new ways to proceed. Oh, and the workplace will suck. People will be miserable, and that misery will ripple out into the wider world. When psychological safety is lacking in your organization or division or team, creating it becomes what matters most, and all other outcomes and goals and priorities and values have to take a back seat. So, how can we create a psychologically safe workplace that rewards innovation and risk-taking and honesty? Deep psychology and neurology. As a coach, consultant, and facilitator, I traffic in the deep psychology and neurophysiology of threat and safety. In gigs where people don't feel safe at work, I teach my clients about their triggers, glitches, and scars, old patterns of protection that signal danger to themselves and others. And I guide them to master their mindsets so they can respond appropriately to current reality, rather than the superimposed maps of danger that were installed through past experiences. You can read about this approach in most of my Mindset Mastery memos. Today, I want to address the issue of psychological safety on a very different level. Practical tips. My friend, psychologist Glenn Livingston, had a long and successful career as a marketing consultant to some of the world's biggest companies, including major food conglomerates. For the last decade, he's atoned by teaching people how to defeat their food cravings and master their unwanted impulses at defeatyourcravings.com. When we got on the phone to talk about how leaders can foster psychological safety in their teams and organizations, Glenn shared 5 practical tips. 1. Separate idea generation from idea evaluation. A quote misattributed to Hemingway advises us to write drunk, edit sober. I want to make it very clear that's a metaphor. I'm not lining things up for my next book, The Shit-Faced Creative. Divergent and convergent thinking are 2 completely different modes of operation, and they work best with a nice big firewall between them. That way, you can access the opportunity-seeking capabilities of the discover mind, divergent, and the discerning qualities of the strategic mind, convergent. 2. Create a ritual to discourage judgmentalism and criticism during brainstorming. Glenn advises creating and publicizing a gentle ritual to point out when convergent, critical thinking sneaks its way into a brainstorming session. In one company where he was consulting, team members decided to ding the side of their water glass with a teaspoon when they heard a negative word. Eventually, people began dinging not just others but themselves, catching their mental train earlier and earlier. This process, which Glenn dubbed self-dingulation, gave participants the awareness to notice when their train of thought habit was about to jump tracks and run over innocent bystanders. 3. Keep meeting attendance to 8 people or fewer. We are creatures who crave safety and find uncertainty unsettling. Small meetings, me and 7 others max, allow my brain to focus both on the proceedings and the emotional tone of the other participants. In a room or on Zoom, I can manage just about that many faces without losing track of what's being said. 4. Ensure that all participants contribute something to the meeting. A corollary to the small number of participants rule is to install a practice by which everyone contributes something to every meeting they attend. That's because when people don't talk in a group environment, other people fear that the silent ones are judging them. When people don't speak, people like me can't help but wonder what they're thinking. Are they mad at me? Do they think I'm an idiot? Are they silently plotting to encase my stapler in jello? So whether it's simply a routine that everyone says hi at the beginning, has an opinion or preference in the middle, and shares one takeaway or question at the end, this attention to inclusion just makes people feel better. 5. Focus on physical comfort. Because we have bodies, or we are bodies, depending on your views of metaphysics, ontology, entomology, and astrology, it's important for an underlying sense of safety to make sure those bodies are cared for. That means working bathrooms nearby with sufficient capacity for the crowd they serve, access to food and drink, and for the long term, ideally healthy food and drink. reasonable hours with frequent breaks, and attention to ambiance, temperature, airflow, and humidity. Once these fundamentals are in place, we can talk about the deeper aspects of a culture of psychological safety. Hey, my goal for this newsletter is to encourage you to identify what matters most to you so you can get massive traction and move that work forward. If you'd like to share your what matters most with me, I'd love to have a conversation with you. Drop me an email, howie@askhowie.com, and tell me what matters most in your world right now.